Welcome to the Bethel Mennonite Church Sunday Worship Podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Pastor Jordan Farrell. On today's podcast, we're going to have a variety of music, hear a faith today about hospitality, reflect on a passage of Scripture from Acts chapter 17, and pray together. But first, here's John Harnish with a few announcements and our call to worship.
Thank you, Jordan. Before our call to worship, I'd like to first draw your attention to several announcements printed in your bulletin and available online. There are three that I'd like to highlight. First, Elizabeth Hendricks had surgery on Wednesday, April 29th, and we'd like to support their family with a meal train. If you'd like to sign up to help bring them a meal, please click on the link that was provided in the Friday email a few days ago. If you have questions about how to sign up or what to make, please contact Michelle Musselman. Next, from Colin. Being safe at home has affected many aspects of our lives, but for four of our youth whose high school careers are coming to a close, Ben King, Natalie Rowley, Riley Stice, and Griffin Ray, that means some big life events will look very different. Bethel has recognized seniors in the past during a recognition Sunday with cake, cards, gifts, and hearing from our graduates about highlights from high school and plans moving forward. We hope to do the latter on a future podcast, but what about the cards and gifts? This year, we'd like to shower these graduating seniors with cards from our faith community. We'll then be delivering these cards along with gifts that we give to our seniors. We hope to give them all a big pile of congratulations, but we need your help. If you can, please send cards for one or all four seniors to the church by May 24th. Let's help Ben, Natalie, Riley, and Griffin celebrate this significant time in their lives. Finally, here's an announcement from the Bethel leadership team about small groups. Throughout Scripture, historical Christianity, and even the accounts of many here at Bethel, small group formation is an integral part of following and growing in Christ. Whether it be just enjoying food and conversation, praying together, exploring topical interests, reviewing books, sharing joys of life, or the delving into Scripture, the fullness of faith and life springs essentially from being in community, not in private. During this time of physical distancing, we want to gather information and organize interest in small groups. Our goal is not to assign groups like we did with Shalom Partners. Instead, our goal is to help you find others with common schedules, family situations, and interests. We want to hear from you. For more information, see the April Tie That Binds article. Also, get in contact with Bethel's faith and discipleship leader, Dave Moore. For other announcements and to read more, please check your email to review the bulletin. For our call to worship, as we enter into this time together, I'd like to invite you all to simply hold this moment, to breathe, and to know that you and I are surrounded and united by the breath of God. For I believe that the Spirit who has dominion over all things, including space, including time, brings us together, that we may unite at the feet of our Lord Jesus. God does this, and it amazes me how so often in Scripture, God overcomes obstacles and spans great distances to reunite with the people who are seeking Him. In reading the Old Testament, we see the Hebrews who endured many hardships and who were often unable to hold together a sacred space, be it a temple or a homeland. We witness God intervene in history, inaugurating a new way of experiencing sacredness. Time, the Sabbath, becomes sacred, becomes what we hold together, a space to gather in. One that cannot be destroyed or taken away. This shift, which expanded over time, allowed God's people, even in captivity or exile, to experience God and to be sustained as a community by that presence. And with Jesus, we have come to recognize that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And with that love, Jesus forms us into one body, a new temple that holds the presence of God whenever we gather in His name. So as the Spirit bridges the distance, and as God overcomes the obstacles of each new day, let us gather in Jesus' name and share this moment. Let's pray together. In your light, we gather, O Spirit of God, be in our midst so that this day might be set apart, a moment outside of time and without space, that we might receive the gift of your nearness and rejoice in the fullness of your love. Together we thank you, Lord. Amen.
As I wake up in the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ear, I can't help but keep a watch toward the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Disappointments and my trials here below fade away when I remember His last words. He said He'd return and take His children home, and I'm longing just to look upon the face of my Lord. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again.
Hello, my name is Adrienne Herman. I currently serve on the worship planning team, and I'm excited to share the faith today for this week. Our focus today is on the practice of hospitality. When I hear the word hospitality, the experiences and the images that often come to mind involve sitting around the dinner table and sharing a meal with other people. Whether you're the host or the guest, there's something about sharing a drink or meal with someone that creates a connection between you and them. I'm not sure what exactly it is about food and drink, especially in our homes, but they often serve as a powerful connector, which means they can also serve as a form of ministry. For our faith today, I'm going to retell a story of hospitality that Dr. David Shank recounted in his most recent book, Christian, Muslim, Friend, 12 Paths to Real Relationship. Dr. David Shank is a global consultant for Eastern Mennonite missions who has focused much of his life on developing peacemaking relationships with Muslims. As a result, he has a lot of experience giving and receiving hospitality. In his most recent book, Dr. David Schenck described a simple act of hospitality that ended up transforming life in an entire region of Indonesia. Around the turn of the millennia, intense conflict between Christians and Muslims was boiling over in different parts of the country. At the time, it wasn't uncommon to hear that Islamic extremists had burned down a church building or even killed a Christian pastor. At the same time, though, there were many Muslim and Christian leaders working together for peace. As a part of this peacemaking work, one day a Christian pastor went to ask a local Hezbollah commander if he wanted to share a cup of tea. For some context, Hezbollah was one of the extremist militant groups that attempted to claim power through the use of violence. After the commander explicitly threatened the pastor, he begrudgingly accepted the invitation to share a cup of tea. And when they were finished, the pastor went home. The following week, he visited the commander again and extended the same invitation, and this went on for over 2 years. Slowly, over time, the two men began to form a more trusting relationship. This was the first tentative step, drinking tea together. After many weeks of drinking tea together, the pastor invited the commander and his militia officers to fly to a place called Banda Aceh so they could help alleviate some of the devastation caused by a recent tsunami. The Hezbollah officers accepted the invitation. For a number of days, these two communities worked side by side to help rebuild a community, even though they had had a long history of mistrust and conflict. Amazingly, the pastor slept in the same room with the very commander who some months before had threatened him. They became friends. And one evening, while they were sitting around the cooking fire, the commander began to weep. He commented that his heart was melting within him as he considered the acts of violence he had committed against Christians in his area. And now, after sharing the work of hospitality with Christians, he was beginning to learn that they could be godly and generous people. They were not doing the Muslim people of Banda Aceh any harm. Instead, they were working very hard to help them. This 2-year relationship led to miraculous peacemaking dialogue between the local Islamic militia and the Christian leaders who were each at the epicenter of the conflict in Indonesia. And to think that this powerful work began with an act of hospitality, the simple invitation to tea.
Hi, this is Delia Branham. I'm reading Acts 17, verse 1 through 9 from the English Standard Version.
Amphipolis,
and
Apollonica.
They came to
Thessalonica,
where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, on 3 Sabbath days. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, who I proclaim to you, and some is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and
Silas,
as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked man of the rebel, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, attacking the house of Jason, seeking to bring him out into the crowd. And when they could not find him, they dragged Jason and the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they all are acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus, in the people, and the people in the city authorities were disturbed." And when they heard these things, and when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go.
Let's pray. Resurrected Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems both our thoughts and our words. Amen. 3 months ago, I had a pretty clear understanding of what hospitality was and how to practice it. Back in January, hospitality was an evening around the dinner table, sharing food and stories. It was morning coffee with a friend, and it was an invitation to play at the park. Back in January, hospitality involved patience and listening. It was an occasion to give and receive the gifts of life with someone else. I suppose the definition of hospitality hasn't changed much in 3 months. Hospitality still involves patience and listening. It's still an occasion to give and receive the gifts of life with someone else. Only now it's an occasion that happens best at a distance of at least 6 feet, and with a cloth mask covering your nose and your mouth, which feels a little strange. One of the first times I felt this strangeness was a few weeks ago. A few weeks back, one of our neighbors emailed Kara and I to see if we needed any seeds or any starters for our garden. We accepted her gracious offer because we enjoy sharing plants with her and because we couldn't pass up the opportunity to grow purple snap peas. I was in the backyard with the girls when she stopped by to drop off a small bag of seeds. When I saw her walking down our alley and begin to turn into our driveway, I stepped forward to greet her, and then I froze. My hesitation probably only lasted a second or two, but a second or two is more than enough time for my mind to be flooded with questions, and that's what happened. Suddenly, I found myself completely unsure how to receive the gift of her hospitality. Should I keep walking so that I could greet her at the fence? And when I got there, should I reach out my hands so she can drop the bag of seeds in them? Because if we each extended our arms, we'd be about 4 feet apart, and perhaps breaking the 6 feet guideline just a little bit would be a way of showing her how much we appreciate her hospitality. Or would it be better to do the opposite? Would it be more hospitable to stay where I was and to share words of appreciation from 20 feet away? Maybe going above and beyond the recommendation of 6 feet was the best way to express our appreciation. Or better yet, would it be more hospitable to try and split the difference? Perhaps it would be more welcoming to take a few steps forward. That way, we wouldn't need to yell at one another in order to hear each other. Before I could sift through all of the questions that were floating around in my mind, she called out from our driveway, and she said she'd be glad to drop the bag inside of our fence because she was working hard to maintain distance. And so that's what we did. She put the bag on the ground by our fence. I took a few steps forward, and we stood about 10 to 15 feet apart and talked for a few minutes. We talked about her daughter, about how strange life was, and about our plans for the garden. And then she left to finish her morning walk. As I look back on the few moments we shared, they feel familiar and strange. They feel familiar because we enjoy seeing our neighbor, hearing about her family, and talking about plants. It's something we've done before, and it's something we hope to do again. Those few moments also felt odd, and we both acknowledged as much. When she put the bag of seeds on the ground and took a few steps backwards, it felt like we were reenacting a ransom scene from a really boring action movie about gardening. But that's part of what hospitality involved in that moment. No, not the tension-filled command to drop the bag and back away slowly. No, not that. But hospitality involved the act of patiently listening to what someone else needed, and then responding with care and honesty. At our best, I think that's what our neighbor and I were attempting to do. We were attempting to figure out how to practice hospitality during this season of distancing. For Christians, hospitality is at the heart of our understanding of God. According to the Christian faith, God's relationship with creation is one of hospitality. It's one of patience and listening. It's an occasion for giving and receiving the gifts of life. In the beginning, God created something out of nothing because God wanted to share God's life. The act of creation was not an act of need, of duty, or of control. It was an act of hospitality. Then, when God appeared to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, they shared in a few moments of hospitality. Abraham invited the three strangers to stay with them until they were refreshed. Sarah prepared a feast for them, and they sat in the shade of a tree and ate. Hospitality. Welcome. Sharing the gifts of life. This is life with God. The hospitality of God is not just in Genesis, but it flows throughout the Hebrew scriptures. In Exodus, the Lord hears the cries of the Hebrew people when they were enslaved in Egypt, and God responded with care and honesty. Throughout the prophets, the Lord practiced patience and named the gifts of life that God's partners were to share with one another and with God. Over and over again, the prophets declared that God desired hospitable relationships, not sacrifices. Which would have been kind of a strange thing to declare, because most other gods require sacrifices. Baal, greed, fear. Most other gods require sacrifices, but not the God of Abraham and Sarah, at least not according to the prophets in the Hebrew scriptures. According to them, God desired hospitable relationship. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, God says in Hosea chapter 6, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And again in Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. Instead, cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. And again in Micah chapter 6, the Lord declares, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Time and again, throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the people of God are called to be a people who practice hospitality. They are called to be a people who share the gifts of life with one another and with God. The call to hospitality continues when we turn to the Gospels. According to the Gospels, when God joined creation as Jesus, God's life was received by a young woman named Mary, welcomed by tax collectors named Matthew and Zacchaeus, and greeted by two disciples walking the long road to Emmaus. According to the Gospels, when God joined creation as Jesus, God's life also received people who were grieving. God's life welcomed children, and God's life greeted those who had been pushed to the margins. In the Gospels, we see the strange hospitality of God in the flesh. Then, in the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit wrap Gentiles in the shawl of God's strange hospitality. The pinnacle of Acts happens in chapter 10, when Peter followed God's hospitable spirit to the home of a Gentile man named Cornelius. When Peter arrived at Cornelius' home, Cornelius welcomed him as an honored guest and invited him to share a few words. As Peter spoke to them about Jesus, he saw the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, fill everyone in the room. Later, in chapter 11, when Peter tried to describe what happened, this is what he said about the spread of God's strange hospitality. The Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I thought I could hinder God? I think one of the most helpful ways to understand today's passage from Acts chapter 17 is as yet another moment in the story of God's strange hospitality. For it's only a few chapters after the famed council at Jerusalem that Paul and Silas found themselves walking into the town of Thessalonica. Once they arrived in Thessalonica, they did the same thing they did in every other town that they traveled to. They used the scriptures to show their Jewish siblings that Jesus was the king that the prophets spoke of long ago. What happened after that was the same thing that happened in almost every other town that they traveled to. The good news of Jesus transformed people's lives. Jews, Greeks, women, men. The Holy Spirit wrapped them all together in the shawl of God's strange hospitality, because that's what God's Spirit has been doing since the beginning of creation. And that's what God's Spirit continues to do today. She calls us and empowers us to be a people who practice God's hospitality, even when it feels a little strange. By wrapping us in God's strange hospitality, the Holy Spirit invites us to be patient and to listen. To be patient with and to listen to ourselves. To be patient with and to listen to others. And to be patient with and to listen to God. By wrapping us in God's strange hospitality, the Holy Spirit creates an occasion for us to share the gifts of life with one another and with the giver of life. By wrapping us in God's strange hospitality, the Holy Spirit does something that we desperately need during this time of isolation and distance. She reminds us that God's desire and our identity have not changed at all. Pandemic or no pandemic, God's desire is to continue breathing life into creation. Pandemic or no pandemic, our identity as creatures created and loved by God remains the same. In Jesus, the Holy Spirit has wrapped creation in the shawl of God's strange hospitality. And as a people who are committed to seeking to follow Jesus together, we have been called to share in that creative, unending, and strange hospitality of God, pandemic or no pandemic.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And the Spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the one who waits. You fixed your sight on the servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, to the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame and those who would for you yearn. You will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. But the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. The saving word that our forebears heard is the promise that holds us bound, till the spear and rod be crushed by God who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn.
Our collective prayer today is an adapted version of one that will be in the new hymnal. As far as I know, the new hymnal is still set to be released this fall, and I am excited for the day when we will be able to gather and sing through parts of it together. Toward the end of the prayer, there will be an opportunity for us to say the Lord's Prayer together. If you are not familiar with the Lord's Prayer, you can find it in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 10. So if you would like to follow along with your eyes as well as your ears, feel free to pause the podcast and turn to either Matthew chapter 6 or Luke chapter 11. Let's pray. O God, Ancient of Days, your love brought galaxies into being and made us in your image. Through the ages, you have cared for all you created. When we wandered, you called us to return to you. In the fullness of time, you sent us the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, to teach the law of love. He lived what he taught and loved his enemies to the end. In wonder, we remember the life Jesus lived, laid down, and took up again for us. Send your Spirit upon us so that we might be wrapped in the strange hospitality of your love. Send your Spirit upon us so that we might live conformed to Christ who taught us to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And
As we wrap up our Sunday worship podcast this week, I want to thank everyone who helped put it together. Thanks to John Harnish for being our worship leader, Adrian Herman for being our worship coordinator and sharing the faith today, Delia Branham for reading scripture, the Bethel Bluegrass Band and Nate Gillis for music, IT extraordinaire Roger Weaver for working on the production elements, and to you all for tuning in. I invite you now to receive these words of blessing. Go forth from this time of worship, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to share in the creative, unending, and strange hospitality of God. Amen.